B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Well, South Carolina man doused his girlfriend with a bucket of urine during an argument in the couple's apartment. Responding to a 3:15 a.m. disturbance call, Myrtle Beach cops spoke...
Hey, what's that bucket of urine for?
Yeah, honestly, you just has a bucket of urine in her apartment.
Well, I will explain. Okay. So the Myrtle Beach cops spoke with a 27-year-old victim who did have urine-soaked clothing. The woman said that her boyfriend, Fred Funnier, had gotten drunk earlier in the evening and, after returning to their residence, stated an argument with her about favors that needed to be done. After Funya called her a bunch of profanities, the woman said he grabbed a bucket that he uses to relieve himself with and threw it at her. He has a piss bucket.
Oh, okay. My God.
The report does not address why he opts to urinate in a bucket, but he does.
Because the pouch is for the poop.
An officer on scene reported spotting liquid on the floor and smelling urine. Upon being woken by a cop, Funya, who smelled of alcohol, denied throwing anything at the victim. Funny was arrested on a misdemeanor domestic violence charge. The victim told police, have dated for 4 years and began living together about 5 months ago, and an online wedding planner indicates they're engaged.
Oh, it's going to end in divorce.
Magical. An unruly passenger acting erratically and aggressively toward crew aboard a JetBlue flight forced it to an unscheduled landing in Minneapolis. Mark Anthony Scarbo was booked on suspicion of drug possession. JetBlue Flight 915 was on its run from New York to San Francisco when it was forced to divert to Minneapolis after a customer on board began acting erratically and aggressively toward crew members and other customers. The flight was met by law enforcement. The customer was removed, and the flight continued to San Francisco. In cell phone video recorded aboard the flight, an attendant could be heard telling passengers that a passenger allegedly touched another passenger, refused to wear a mask, and made repeated trips to the bathroom. He was also seen making stabbing gestures towards other passengers and snorting a white substance, that the flight attendant said. The attendant added that the bag with the substance was found at his seat. She said it was decided that all four flight attendants felt uncomfortable with what was going on.
I'm not comfortable with this.
And said that this was the closest place to go, so we as a team made the decision to come here. And the plane erupted in applause after the attendant finished speaking.
Nice.
So they all knew there was an a-hole on board.
Yeah.
Scarbo was still in custody late Monday afternoon. Jail records show that Minneapolis prosecutors have until noon yesterday to formally charge him. Australia's oldest man has revealed some of his secrets for long life, including eating chicken brains.
What?
Dexter Kruger, a former rancher and vet, is 111 years old and 124 days, and told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation a weekly poultry delicacy had contributed to his longevity. Speaking from his nursing home in rural Queensland, Mr. Kruger said, chicken brains, you know.
Well, what's that again, old timer?
He said, chicken brains. You know, chickens have a head. This is his quote. He said, you know, chickens have a head, and in there's a brain. And they are delicious little things.
Oh, that's
right. There's only one little bite.
Right, you just lay there. I'm going to put this pillow over your face.
Chickens' brains are smaller even than the bird's eyeball, according to CuisineVault.com, which describes them as a fatty organ that tastes a lot like chicken with fat and a unique sponge-like texture.
Chicken brains.
Mr. Kruger's son, Greg, himself a sprightly 74, puts his father's long life down to a simple outback lifestyle.
Yeah, he used to eat the buttholes, but they're calling it a robbery.
Decided to flip it over and try the other side.
Yeah. Try the other side, see how the other half lives.
Here's a follow-up story. We had a lengthy discussion about this yesterday. Remember I said that an elevator had fallen three floors in King of Prussia? Update to that story.
It wasn't exactly that.
Three people involved in a fight were injured after they fell several stories down an elevator shaft at an apartment complex in King of Prussia Monday night. A source told this to NBC 10. The incident occurred at the 251 DeKalb apartment complex, and three people were fighting on the eighth floor of the building when they fell down the elevator shaft to the elevator car, which was sitting on the first floor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they fell on top of the elevator. All three were hurt, and at least one of the victims suffered a broken leg. All three were taken to the hospital. Most seriously hurt was taken by helicopter to the hospital. Officials have not yet revealed their exact conditions. Earlier reports said the elevator fell, but the source said that that's not what happened. A resident felt the floor of his fourth floor apartment, so they were above him, shaking. And he then went down to, it happened below him. And then he went down the third floor where he saw a man speaking to people through the elevator door. He then saw firefighters taking a bloodied person out of the elevator shaft on the floor below.
It's an effed up story.
It was a fight. Wow. All right. Speaking of an effed up story, here's your last one. An elderly woman in India narrowly avoided being burned alive after her family mistakenly thought she was dead and prepared her for cremation. You know, they're burning people out in your backyard.
Funeral pyres.
The woman, identified as Shakuntala Gaikwad, tested positive for COVID last week.
Yeah.
Yahoo reported her family took her to Silver Jubilee Hospital, but as the wards were full, they were turned away. As they waited for an ambulance, she became unconscious, and the family mistakenly thought she had died, so they prepared her for cremation. But moments before it was lit, she woke up on her own funeral pyre in a panic and started crying.
Hey, hey, hey!
Local police confirmed the story. She was later transported back to the hospital to be cared for. Last year, India's health ministry released guidelines for the cremation of people who have died of COVID, with special measures ordered to avoid any potential reinfection. But, yeah, dude, they were about to burn her, and she was still alive.
Yeah, I'd say give it a half hour before you light that thing up.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
So at least one person brought possibly a live mortar that they found into a place called the Nimrod Bar over the weekend.
Brought a live mortar into the Nimrod Bar.
Yeah.
People were mortified.
The county sheriff's office said...
Thank you. I'm doing bomb humor all this week.
It got a call on Sunday from a person who said they had located a mortar that was possibly live and then brought it to the bar in the city of Nimrod.
The boys at the Nimrod Club could handle this.
Apparently, the individual had been with others at the Shell City Bridge with a metal detector where they located the mortar. They put it in their car and brought it to the Nimrod Bar.
Why would you do that?
Well, it's a town called Nimrod.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, I don't know.
It's like when you hire Three Stooges plumbing.
I'm curious as to where the hell Nimrod is. It's in Wadena County, wherever that is.
Okay.
It's right next to Dickhead.
The bomb squad...
Sounds Wisconsin-y to me.
It does sort of, doesn't it?
Yeah. The bomb squad responded and took possession of the mortar. At the time, it was unknown if the device was still alive or not. The mortar, which is possibly from the Korean War era, will be disposed of in a safe manner.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
There you go.
Nimrod, Minnesota.
Come on. Yeah.
All right, this is a terrible story. A climber was killed and another was seriously injured when they were hit by a falling block of glacier ice in Alaska's Denali National Park and Preserve. The two were hit by the hanging sérac after it dislodged from a peak off the West Fork of the Ruth Glacier. The accident happened Thursday as the two were beginning to climb one of the peaks on the southern flank of Denali. A spokesperson had said the ice hit the two-person team about 5 a.m. As the men began to climb the west face of Reality Ridge. One climber, described by park officials as a 31-year-old man from Logan, Utah, was knocked unconscious. When he woke up, he found his climbing partner, another man from Rigby, Idaho, dead from the accident.
How far was the fall? How far did this chunk fall, did they say?
They didn't indicate in the story, no. The names of the men have been withheld at the time. The survivor used a satellite communications device to call for assistance around 6 a.m. He had significant injuries but was able to move out of the debris area. Two mountaineering rangers were flown to the site. They took the injured climber to a safe location on the glacier and provided emergency care and then flew the other man out of town into a hospital.
I mean, it's a completely freak accident. You know, I mean, they were there, they were climbing, and it was their time.
It's one of the dangers of you know, being in a spot like that. Rangers will return to the scene when conditions allow to assess the possibility of recovering the climber's remains. Actually, there was another story involving an avalanche, which was interesting, and I had never heard of. Let me see
don't
if I can...
Don't medical experts suggest you never go outside?
Yeah, check this out. Yeah. So a group of extreme skiers had an unusual encounter with a slow-motion avalanche in a gully on Ben Nevis. This is in England. The group was on Ben Nevis's north face on Saturday to ski at steep descents. They were surprised to find the avalanche moving slowly down Observation Gully from the summit of Britain's highest mountain. Al Todd, who was part of the group, said late spring was usually the safest time of year for tackling the North Face due to the snow conditions and reduced chance of avalanche activity. He said, however, when we reached the snow at the weekend, this last thing we expected to see was a continuous slow-motion avalanche stretching all the way to the summit. I'd never heard of that before.
I've
you guys
never heard of this phenomenon.
Avalanches are usually...
So it's something you could get out of the way of?
Yeah. He said avalanches are usually sudden explosive forces of nature. When snow released under its own weight comes thundering down steep faces, sometimes with devastating consequences. I said he and his friends carefully made their way to the summit to enjoy some skiing. Had heard of that term before.
If I ever encounter an avalanche, I want a slow-moving one.
If the mountain's not that steep, it kind of makes sense. You know,
I guess so.
Gravity's
what's
pulling it down.
Yeah. All right. How about this? An accident involving a Qatar Amiri Air Force F-15 QA fighter jet at Mid-America St. Louis Airport. The two crew members on board ejected while the aircraft was on the ground.
Whoa. I assume that was an accident, right?
I guess so. Early reports indicate that one of them was injured and taken to the hospital for observation while the other was unhurt. Available photos of the video footage show the aircraft, which is missing its canopy, sitting on a patch of grass at Mid-America Airport that appears to be between the taxiway and runway with its landing gear down. Despite an initial report that said only one of the individuals on board had ejected, subsequent reports said that both aviators had done so. Boeing, which manufactures the F-15 series of fighter jets, among the other aircraft, uses this airport, which sits adjacent to Scott Air Force Base, to support test and training activities. F-15 QAs have been involved in training exercises at Mid-America since February, but I'm curious because I was always wondering whether you can survive an ejection while on the ground like that.
So, like, for example, if you watch Die Hard 2, he ejects and he goes way up and the chute opens up and he's able to float down. My guess is those are meant you're obviously going to be in the air, which makes a chute deployment that much more logical.
I thought I had heard that they won't deploy if you're on the ground.
Because imagine how high it would have to launch you for a chute deployment to be effective.
Yeah, a few hundred feet, I would imagine, yeah. All right, so a Milwaukee man faces charges for allegedly burglarizing a bakery. The charges come after the bakery digitized the face of the suspect, captured by surveillance video, and put it on cookies at the bakery and sold them. And that's how they got the guy.
They put the thief's image on cookies.
Yes. 45-year-old Dominic Culp is charged with burglary and felony bail jumping. The bakery had been last open on the previous Sunday and was scheduled to open on Tuesday. When an employee arrived to prepare for Tuesday, the person observed the cash drawer was missing. The drawer opened, had roughly $200 inside. It was gone.
That's great.
Officers reviewed interior and exterior surveillance video. They showed the subject outside waiting to get in, broke his way in. He entered the business through the side door. Interior video shows the suspect removing the cash drawer from the register. The video shows the suspect's face with a high degree of clarity.
Wow.
Police released a photo of the burglary suspect, and the owner of the bakery took the digitized image of the burglary suspect and converted it into a cookie decoration in the likeness of the suspect. The decorated cookies were widely reported on as well. And on April 26, an officer saw the pictures of the suspect online, recognized him. A couple of days later, a local business owner also called the police to identify the suspect in the bakery burglary as Culp.
That's great.
Officers responded to the hotel where Culp was staying. He attempted to jump out a second floor balcony to escape, but police were able to take him into custody, and he was busted. And there you go. That is what I have in the Bizarre File for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.